Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A white actress named Annette Hubble has written a one-woman show, and in the show she portrays historical figures. She's white, and she does also portray black figures in telling their stories. She said, it never occurred to me that it might even be an issue telling their stories, bringing them alive. The Rancho Santa Fe Library in San Diego has asked her to perform her show for Women's History Month. And she said she gave them a list of the characters to pick from. They chose Harriet Beecher Stowe, a white mm-hmm. abolitionist, Mary McLeod Bethune, a black educator and civil rights leader, and Harriet Tubman, we all know, who escaped slavery and led the Underground Railroad. A couple of weeks before the show, they called her and said, well, why don't you swap out Bethune and Tubman for two white characters? She said, why? And they told her, because it's not appropriate for you to be doing this. You're a white woman. And she said, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm honoring these women. I've carefully researched each and every one of them. I don't put on any makeup or anything. I do dress appropriately in the age-appropriate dress. And the library said, well, that doesn't matter. And she said, you mean I'm only to perform women whose stories and bravery and courage should be told if they're white? She asked.
Which is
and the lady
racist.
Said, yeah. She said, that's pretty much it. So I said, I'm not, well, tell me how it's different from the Hamilton play, right?
Yeah.
It should be well accepted in theatrical circles for people to play other races for the purposes of celebrating that person.
Yeah, or paying homage. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the lady at the library says, well, that's historically different. And she said, I don't understand that. Explain it to me, please. And she said, I can't explain it. And frankly, I'm quite baffled that you don't understand it. That's the way liberals are. They can't
yeah.
explain it. They don't. They have no good reason why, you know, they lovingly accept Hamilton and celebrate Hamilton, this Tony Award winning musical. The you know, one of the main facts of it is are that many black actors play white historical figures. And she's trying to find out what's the difference. And with liberals mm-hmm. hit this point where they can't explain it, they go, you don't understand it. I can't believe you don't understand. I can't explain it to you. Get out of here.
Yeah, they go, it's not my job to educate you. That's one of my favorite lines. Oh, okay. So you just want me to live in ignorance forever? It's because you don't even know. You don't even know what you're saying. That's why.
Well, this debate quickly escalated up to the county's diversity and inclusion team who affirmed
Uh-oh.
The decision. Yeah, that she would have to swap out the characters. And she said, my first thought was, why wasn't I invited to the meeting to discuss the meeting if it's about inclusion? she said, had they come to me and said, somebody in our library really likes Corey Ten Boom and Gladys Aylward, white characters, would you change out two of your characters for them? She said, I would have, sure, but because they said it was because I was white and they were black, that has nothing to do with it, and no, I won't. What's good for the goose should be good for the gander. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a serious double standard. But
and she made it clear. She said, I'm not doing blackface. I'm not doing a parody of these people. I'm showing them great respect, and celebrating them. And, you know, if I was doing blackface or a parody, that might be the cause for an objection. But all they have to do is read my stories and the testimonies on my website. They'd see how deeply I respect and honor these people. The San Diego Union Tribune published an opinion piece by a former San Diego City Attorney, Jan Goldsmith, supporting her. She said, they called me and said, you know, this is horrific. We need to do something about this. If these women that I portray fought against such injustice and such egregious wrongdoings in their lives, who am I to stop fighting for this? They said they were concerned about the impact it may have.
Yeah, how it'd be perceived and people to say, oh, it's appropriation, it's not politically correct for you as a privileged white woman to be portraying these black women. Even if, like you said, you're bringing attention to them, you're paying homage, you want to respect their story and their struggle and their journey. It doesn't matter because all they see is like, oh, optics are bad and there's no further discussion.
I mean, I know that, you know, people are familiar with Hamilton, and certainly these people in San Diego are familiar with Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
and nobody can really explain. She says, it's just different. It's just different. It's just different. What? What's different? Well, I can't explain it to you. You'll never understand it. I'm baffled why you can't get it. They have no excuse. They don't have a real legitimate reason to prevent it from happening. They're just liberals.
Yeah, well, they do, but they can't say it because it's racist. If you go, listen, it's okay for black people to do that because they're
right.
Whatever they say after that is racist, disenfranchised, inferior. Like whatever they're going to say is going to be racist. So they go, I don't even want to touch the subject because clearly you don't understand it. You have no understanding of just the fabric of our culture and what's acceptable and what's not.
It is kind of reminiscent of back in the day when you would have a gay character in a play or a TV show that wasn't gay in real life and people have a problem with it, or if you had a trans character in a play, it has to be played by if you had a guy in a wheelchair in a movie or a play or a TV show, the guy, you know, liberals will say the guy better be a real paraplegic or else you're taking a job away from some poor unemployed paraplegic actor who can't really act. That's just a dumb argument. And you can't bring it to Hamilton because Hamilton is Hamilton. And I don't know that it was ever controversial at all, that the fact that so many black actors played white historical characters.
Right, there's no problem with a black Little Mermaid, which was clearly a historically white character. But again, it's when it's in the reverse, when a white person is trying to portray a black character, that's when everyone gets up in arms. Because, and this is even more racist, I've heard people say this and they don't realize how racist it is. They're like, you can't punch up. You can only punch down. And I'm like, who said black people are down? You just said that they're inferior. I didn't say that. The people will say that. They're like, you can't punch up. You can only punch down.
Why does it have to be up or down?
Yeah, exactly. That's how they view the world. That's not how I view the world. But so clearly you don't think black people are equal to white people if you think that they're punching up, meaning that they are below. So I think you're the racist one here.
I agree. I do. Her performances, this one actress, a black actress, said her performance is not the same as the colorblind casting in Hamilton. It's not a two-way street because colorblindness is a response to historic exclusion, to the erasure of our stories and our parts of different chapters in history in this country.
Yeah. They claim to want a colorblind society. They clearly do not, because all they do is harp about race and want to bring critical race theory into our schools to teach our children. And there's no reason why a young black kid should feel from the get-go that they're disenfranchised and marginalized. And there's no reason why a little white kid should feel sorry for anything about being white or anything historically that happened because it wasn't their fault. It's just sick all around.
She went further to say any defense of her performance also ignores the harmful history of white people portraying people of color, not just blackface or yellowface, but the centuries-long fight for roles for non-white actors that go beyond stereotypes, which she said is still going on today.
Listen, you can find any excuse to be offended or annoyed or irritated by anything. So that's what the liberals love to do. They just love to find ways to like get upset about stuff. And to be honest, it's kind of creative sometimes. I'm like, oh, I didn't know anyone could be upset about that. But apparently they are. So, okay.
I don't know how many times we've run across studies and polls that indicate that Democrats and liberals are way more unhappy than conservative people. Just as a general rule, they're just unhappy people. They're oftentimes very angry in their unhappiness. They're dissatisfied with practically everything around them. They're quick to violence. They're quick to attack and to intimidate and during the Biden administration, most Americans just kind of went through their day and waited till it was over.
I have noticed that with liberals is that they really like embrace and celebrate being a victim. And listen, you can be a victim of something, but it's also your responsibility to heal yourself. And if you just feel like you're constantly a victim, I mean, what a tragic way to live life, because you're never in the driver's seat. Life is just happening to you and you have no agency. That's what they believe. Whereas I feel like on the
Prozac.
Right, it's like, on the right, you go, okay, I got this issue. Maybe it's not my fault, but now it's my responsibility to deal with it. That's a much more realistic and pragmatic way to live life and live a full and happy, joyful life. So,
Dan, it's time for Fight Club.
Hey!
That it is. We're...
Come on, Fight Club.
Here we go.
And Company Fight Club.
Stop You're looking it. For a fight.
I am looking for a fight.
Fights will go on as long as they have to.
We know fights equal rating.
Yes, that's right. Fights equal ratings, and that's why Fight Club sponsored by Tri-County Auto Group. Three locations, one priority you. Visit tricounty.com. So, I have two again, and I know that's probably a little over, but one's really short. And you know what, Phil? I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go EX06 first, because I bring this to the table because Anna just a moment ago kept talking about being in the driver's seat, and this clip now going viral. We're going to call it the drive-by knockout. Short little clip. Take a watch. We have a car here and a guy throwing a punch. Hey. Oh.
Fighting on the go.
Yeah, fighting on the go in the driver's seat. I don't know the story behind it, but a little short guy. Cool. But that's not the real clip of the day. The real clip of the day comes from another brawl. And this one, a carnival and a lot of neon. And, wow, check out the outfits. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT.
What on earth is
if I can get some narration from both Shannon and Anna on this one, because
got a lot of booties, booties.
They look like they're on a team or a dance squad. They're dressed a similar way, and they might have
a little carnival, right? So it's like
a carnival. Why are they wearing pink?
Celebration.
And there's the outfits are for the listeners. It's something you'd expect, I guess, like a female wrestler to wear, almost like a singlet with the belly showing and the leg showing and.
They're scantily clad, you know, maybe they're part of a twerk team sort of a thing. You know, you want to show the cheeks.
Oh, they're going again. Oh, there's more.
Wow.
You got some hands.
Ruining carnival for everybody.
Oh, carnival is it just about at love. A carnival or is it carnival?
Well, I on Twitter, because we know Twitter's the truth. It's carnival is how they spelled it. But it looks like a standard carnival, you know. But thanks to Trucker Ed, a fantastic, I guess, producer of the show at this point, sending over some great Fight Club clips.
Wow.
So again, Fight Club sponsored by Tri-County Auto Group. Three locations, one priority. You visit tricounty.com. And I think the carnival clips are going to be submitted for the end of the week consideration, I would think. Right, you too?
Oh, for the clip of the week?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
It's better than the drive-by knockout?
The drive-by knockout's just too short.
Yeah.
You know, this fight video's got a lot of, you know, it's lengthy. It's longer. It shows people getting knocked down and getting back up again. The women are wearing strange outfits. It's just, it's hitting on all cylinders, I think.
All right, well,
I have to disagree. I feel like I like the first one. Just the ingenuity. You really don't see, I'm really kind of examining it on its uniqueness. You don't really see one on a fighter on wheels and then the other one kind of like on ground trying to keep up with the speed of the moving vehicle. So I think my vote's going to be for video one.
I'd like to specify we do not condone any violence.
No, we don't. But if you see some, please show it to us.
Please send it over, yes. Thank you for Fight Club.
If you see it, send it. Yeah.
Thank you for Fight Club. When we return, what makes someone cool? I think the definition's changed over time, but right now there are six very specific traits that you must possess in order to be cool. We'll go over it next. Stick around. It's Kale and Company on 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I think as a kid, I came familiar with the term cool. I wasn't, I think probably perhaps the best representative of being cool was the Fonz on Happy Days for me, for my age group. I really wasn't aware of James Dean, you know, when I was a kid. That was probably coolness. But there, believe it or not, coolness is not a widely studied subject. The study, though, done at the journal, published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, suggests that cool people have they have six specific traits they tend to have in common. Dr. Heinrich on the study said, globally, American success has led to the diffusion of music styles and an immense amount of cultural content, including the concept of cool. So this study surveyed 6,000 participants from 12 countries around the world.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah, what?
The wearing of sunglasses.
It doesn't mention that.
No, it doesn't cross cultures.
One of them, they're kind of weird. What shocked some of the authors of the study was that the results were pretty much the same everywhere in 12 countries, in age groups, income levels, education, gender, all of these differences. The six traits appear to be that they have in common are largely perceived to be extroverted, right? You're not a stay-at-home kind of, you know, you're out there.
Yeah, you're out there.
Hedonistic. That's the one I have. You have to be hedonistic, which is weird. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Adventurous. And open and autonomous.
Yeah. I think hedonist kind of goes from like you don't really care what the cultural norms are. You
right.
know, like cultural norms would tell you to be maybe more traditional or conventional, where you just kind of like say, kick that to the curb and you're like, I'm in it for me, baby. And that makes you kind of like cool, like a risk taker. Maybe that's where that comes
from. The image
from.
That comes to mind is James Dean pulling out a cigarette in a, you know, police department and lighting up
yes.
there while he's sitting in the waiting room. Kind of
thing. They found that coolness is usually considered something very positive. People that are cool are also friendly, competent, trendy, and attractive.
Yes.
But the doctor and his colleagues wanted to know what makes a person distinctly cool rather than just a good person. So
right.
they asked the participants to think of specific people, one who was cool, one who was not cool, one who was good, and one who was not good. Then they asked the participants to evaluate each person by answering questions that collectively measured 15 different attributes. While the cool and good people had overlapping traits compared with their cool counterparts, good people were perceived as being more conforming, more traditional, more secure, mm-hmm. warm, agreeable, more universalistic, meaning the person sees everyone and everything as being equal or equally worthy of care and respect.
Yeah.
Those that perceived who were perceived as capable were equally considered cool and good. But one limitation of the study was that everyone who did not know the word cool was automatically filtered out because even you had to be able to understand the word cool without it being translated into whatever native tongue from whatever country
yeah,
you're from.
Yeah, so you could measure it. It had to be like a fixed variable, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
So we all know what we're all talking about here, sort of thing.
The average age from each region that they surveyed was generally 30 or younger. Some studies have shown that there are important cultural differences that can affect the traits that we value. Factors like aggression make us have a higher value in Western cultures and simultaneously give us less status in the East.
Mm.
So in the West, aggressiveness is seen as a positive. Chief of psychology at American Psychological Association says that in the East, aggression is not an attribute you could see as a positive.
Lack of control. I think it's seen as like you don't have control over yourself if you're able to just get angry to the point of being violent, perhaps.
Right, right.
Yeah.
To be cool is particularly strong during adolescence, the desire to be cool. It influences not only what people buy, but what they wear, who they admire, how they talk, what they do for fun. But what's considered cool by the broader culture may not be the same as what you perceive personally to be cool.
Right.
You know, everyone has that little individual...
like quirks and interests where you're like, you know, I don't know what kind of like hobbies you have, Shannon, but maybe it's like a biker stuff. You're like, oh, this guy builds his own bike. That's so cool. He's so cool. Or I'm just like, whatever.
Is Elon Musk cool?
Yeah.
No,
he's not cool.
You don't
cool.
think so? He's a nerd? You think he's a nerd?
I mean, like, how are we defining cool? Like, he's clearly not like a smooth, cool,
like
confident individual.
But at the same time, like, Dark MAGA did take off because he made that kind of cool for a little
That's
bit.
That's true.
Right?
He's definitely powerful and adventurous. I don't know that
right?
Is he extroverted?
Not especially, I don't think. He's cool in that, like, what he's doing for technology and human advancement. Like, you're like, whoa, that's cool. But is he cool as an individual? I mean, we've all seen Elon Musk, like, give a public talk. He doesn't seem super cool, smooth, confident, stuff like that. Because he's got autism, which is fine, but it's not, like, typically, like, a cool quality. Whereas, like, to me, Donald Trump is, like, cool.
One more
like, he's funny.
Jeff Bezos, is he cool?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos is cool.
Really?
You think
yeah.
so?
How
yeah.
can he be? How about Warren Buffett? There's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, these guys have got a lot more like social finesse than Elon Musk does. But again, what Elon Musk does is cool, but he may not be cool, if that makes sense.
So when pressed to rather being cool as a trait worth pursuing, the doc says, I've got some doubts about that. Coolness that involves risk-taking and being socially precocious during adolescence may offer popularity during your youth. But one study in 2014 found that many teenagers that behaved in this way would later struggle in their 20s, develop problems with alcohol and drugs and relationships.
They actually have a name for it.
By a nerd, clearly, who was not cool in high school.
It's called the Al Bundy syndrome.
Yeah. So they're doing more extreme things to try to act cool. For popular kids in school, they say the status is dominance, visibility, getting attention. Mm-hmm. But the doc also added, it is how well liked you are that contributes to your long-term success as a cool person. Even the most uncool kid is going to probably fare well if they have at least one close friend.
Yes.
In school.
What do you think makes someone cool? Like, what's the essence of coolness?
A Harley Davidson hat and a Punisher shirt with a Trump.
He is dressed like
a cool guy. Like, yeah.
I think it's a lot of it is the way you carry yourself.
So confidence, right? Yeah.
Self-confidence and the way you react or don't react to various stimuli, whether it's a aggression from someone else or some type of physical aggression or verbal taunts and things like that. I think it's having a thick skin.
Yes, I was going to say the exact same thing, like stoicism, being able to have control over your emotions and aggression is cool, like typically perceived as cool. Right. Yeah.
Does the look have anything to do with it?
Probably.
I would say so. Unattractive, overweight guy be cool?
Yeah, absolutely. No. Like you said, it depends a lot.
Name one. Like, there's, come on.
Oh, if like you're what? Like a maybe like a Chris Farley or something.
Okay,
like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Chris Farley,
you know what
was
I mean?
Cool.
Yeah, like he's funny. He's, you don't have to be like the hot guy to be cool. Much like Shannon said, you just got to be hold yourself well, good self-esteem, confidence, and also just oftentimes if you like are really good at something. Right? Like you're a really funny comedian.
Yes.
Like you're, that's cool. I wouldn't say Louis C.K. is super hot, but he's super cool to me.
Kevin James. Have you ever seen Kevin James's wife?
Wait, no. Kevin James isn't cool.
Kevin James, King of Queens guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
You think he's cool? Paul Blart, Mall Cop? Come on.
He's cool. He's funny. I like Kevin James.
He's extroverted. I don't know that
you put Paul Blart, Mall Cop next to Stringer Bell from The Wire. You tell me he's cool.
I don't know
that
he's hedonistic.
They're all cool their own way. Yeah.
You're right. I think people look at people that are considered cool. They have a picture in their mind of the biker guy, leather jacket, white T-shirt, smokes rolled up in the sleeve, blue jeans, maybe rolled up a little bit at the bottom. I don't know. That's the vision of coolness that a lot of people have or share.
Sure. I think coolness comes in lots of shapes and sizes. Okay. That's what I think.
You got to have a sense of humor to be cool, I think.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to have a cool car to be cool?
No.
No? Right. Have to ride a motorcycle?
Yes, absolutely. All people that ride motorcycles are super cool.
Does it actually contribute to the coolness, Donna?
I always say...
Yeah, it can. Again, it's like it's an equation with lots of different variables. It's not like, oh, you got a cool car, you're cool. It's just like... If it adds to the persona, sure. But a lot of times, if you're like fake confident or like you're just this guy who's kind of like a douchebag and you drive a cool car, like that doesn't make you cool. That seems like fake and like you're trying to over impress.
So you need a heightened platform hard, cool like Shannon hard. Burke to start from.
Yeah.
Oh, Shannon is very cool.
Yeah. I always say, because I work with a lot of Harley dealerships in my line of work, I always tell people, women in particular, that won't let their husband buy a motorcycle for whatever reason, that if your husband's like a 6 or a 5 on a motorcycle and a leather jacket, he's at least an 8.
Why would you want that? Then he becomes more attractive to other women. I'm just kidding.
And apparently dudes too.
All right, we'll return. You're probably as annoyed as most people. There was some talk about this some time ago about how it should be law that theater owners like AMC theaters let you know the real time the movie starts, not the time when the previews and the commercials start rolling. And one company is now warning their moviegoers about this very thing. I think it's going to help quite a bit. Me, anyway. I don't like to sit through this stuff.
You don't like the previews?
No. No. Oh, I don't know about the previews. But there's more than that there now. There's commercials, you know? Like, I see car dealership commercials and all that nonsense. And there's a WNBA team coming to Philadelphia. Are we all excited about that?
Oh, hell yeah. Woohoo!
I think it's great. I think it's great.
I'm sincerely excited for this. I am.
I think it's good. I think it's a great deal. I like to see the WNBA start to expand and become more popular, mostly due to what's it, Caitlin Collins?
Caitlin Clark.
It's a wonderful thing to see, a league that's had to be supported by the NBA for so long. And maybe now the female basketball players can make not as much as LeBron James. They might be able to make a little bit more than they're making right now. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Because people are actually going to go to the games.
Right. stick around. It's Kale and Company on 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Some people like the previews. Some people don't. You know, they list the movie time, and you get there, and, you know, in most cases, you rush there. Like, I don't want to miss the first of the movie. It might, you know, I might miss the plot line or something like that. And you get there, and you realize you spend a little time in line at the concession stand, and you get into the theater, and most theaters today, you have the nice reclining seats, and you relax there, and you got your popcorn and your soda, and then you're 25 minutes, 30 minutes away from the movie actually starting. A lot of people know this. I typically go by movie starts at 3:05. I'm going to be there at 3:05. A lot of people know far too well the length of time they'll be spending in that chair watching commercials and previews. Regardless how you feel about the issue, AMC Theaters is now ensuring that when moviegoers go to look at showtimes, they're fully aware of what to expect. The showtimes for AMC theaters include a very visible note just below where users read about the movie. It says, in quotes, "Movie starts 25 to 30 minutes after showtime." So why do you call it showtime if it's 25 to 30 minutes away from the movie starting?
That's a great point.
Well, it's part of the show. I think it's a little appetizer when they dim the lights and then you get to watch the fun movie trailers. I honestly have not been to a movie theater in probably about 7 years. So
really?
It's nice to hear that they do have they all have reclining seats these days. Yeah, it's probably been about 7 years.
It's terrible now. Don't go.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
No. Isn't it like $20 a pop?
$20 a pop. Yeah, and everyone talks through the movies now. It's terrible.
Right. It is. Mm. It is pretty awful. And then you put your seat back and it's the leather squeaking against.
There are online discussions as to whether movie theaters should become the new community houses, where instead of going to watch a movie, well, you can do that at home now because there's a streaming option to watch it silently. You go to watch it in public and commentate with your friends on it.
It's a whole outing. You know, you gotta get dressed. You gotta leave the house, get in a car, drive to the theater, get your ticket, blah blah blah, get some snacks. I really prefer watching movies at home. Every once in a while there'll be a great movie that comes out, and I've got to see it. You know, and it's not released on streaming or Netflix or something like that. It's only in the theaters. And I'll go to it. I'll go to see it in the theater. I can't. The last one I went, I think, was the last Mission Impossible. I had to see that in a theater.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'm happy to wait till it comes to streaming. I'm not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal.
Bootleg it and get it at home. Yeah, it's just such a pain in the tush, if you will, to, like you said, get ready, brush your teeth, put on pants, go there, and then you have to spend $40 to sit and do exactly what you were doing at home. Now, granted, it is cooler in the theater just because, like, the sound system is better and the screen is larger, but then you have to deal with other people, which...
But at home, you can pause it and go to the bathroom, you know?
I know, exactly.
I've got a notoriously small bladder, and you get one of those giant sodas in my hand, you know, you're going to miss some of the movie. There was a move to make it a law that the theaters, the theater companies let you know this, but I guess AMC's figured they'd get out ahead of it and do it in advance without being forced to do it. Most people know they're going to sit through something, right? Most theatergoers plan this into the time they arrive. But I'm either worried that I'm going to miss the first part of the movie, or that if I don't get there when they say the showtime begins, I won't get a good seat. Unless that you too. Like reserve it in advance.
Yeah. I can't believe you don't like previews, man. You don't mind. Get super hype about like what's coming up next.
Right, but half the
every
previews.
Movie is the best movie.
Half the previews are for movies I don't care to see. You know, some cartoon movie for kids or, they're not always.
Don't they tailor it to the movie? Yeah, you're right. I guess sometimes you do see stuff like that, but.
A lot of moviegoers are split on the decision. They pointing out that the stating the obvious. Some people are pushing for even bigger changes. People are like, weren't you aware of this previously, that there are a bunch of stuff in advance of the movie there?
Right.
This guy says, if I arrive 30 minutes in expecting to catch the start and wind up missing 5 minutes of the actual film, there's going to be an issue. You might miss the best part of the movie, the very beginning that sets it up. So
sure.
And AMC and these other theater companies want you to sit through these previews because they want you to find another movie that you're excited about that you come back to the theater and see. Mm-hmm. But what I don't need is the popcorn candy intermission song, that roller coaster AMC.
They're still playing that with the subliminal like Coke.
Yes. Yes.
Popcorn.
Yes.
That's what hypnotize me to buy stuff.
I mean, at this point, it's nostalgia. I feel it's still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that could be accurate.
But to your point, I mean, why don't they do the roller coaster right at that time and then switch to the film? Like, go the trailer. If you want to see the trailer, show up early. And 7:10 is the start of the movie itself. Show up at 6:50 if you want to see some trailers.
How about this? How about you tell the people when the movie starts, right? And you don't play anything, but maybe one popcorn candy commercial, the roller coaster. Then you go right into the movie. And then if you want to stick around later for the previews, after the credits, we'll got previews coming up. Have a seat. Enjoy it.
I don't know. I like the order it's in now. It's like the appetizer to
By
it.
By the end of the
I don't
movie,
want a dessert. I want an appetizer.
If I go to see a flick in the theater, by the end of the movie, I don't even remember what they're promoting in the previews before. I've been immersed in a movie. I can't recall. Oh, there was one movie I saw the preview for. I can't remember, but it looks good. I think it's an action film. I don't have a very good memory in that regard. Right. So.
Yeah. Maybe that's a me problem.
I think it is definitely a me problem, no doubt about it. WNBA set to debut in 2030 in Philadelphia. It'll make its debut in the 2030 season, pending approval from the WNBA and the NBA Board of Governors. They announced on Monday the team was not hasn't been given a name yet. Will be based in South Philadelphia. Will be owned and operated by Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment. Dan, any idea what would be a popular name for a WNBA team in Philadelphia?
Wrong answers only.
Yeah. I really like the Freedom. It's something I've seen thrown around.
Oh,
Philadelphia Freedom. You got the New York Liberty,
cool.
So why not counter that with the Freedom? The Lady Cheesesteaks I've seen. The Broad Street. The Broad Street Broads has been said.
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
The 70 Sisters. Has been said.
70 Sisters.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
The Philadelphia Bells with an E. B E L L E S.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Wait, you said you were genuinely excited about this.
Are
you a fan of women's basketball?
No. So this is where it comes down to is you guys might not know this, but my wife is 5 months pregnant and we'll be welcoming a little girl to the world.
Congratulations.
Yes. And combining that with my height, I'm 6'8". So I would only imagine that my future daughter is going to be massive. So
volleyball or basketball.
Why not?
How tall is your wife?
Only 5'7". 5'7", 5'8"-ish, yeah. So,
only? That's really tall.
And her dad is like 6'4". So our child will be, and the thing we're talking about is tennis, because if you look at, the gender gap, tennis a lot of times, women make just as much as the men, so maybe we get her playing tennis. See, these are the conversations we're already having. But then when the WNBA's coming to town and we see everything happening there, you know what? Maybe we can get instill a love of basketball in the little girl because of this.
Well, Philly's already a great basketball town anyway, with the 76ers there. There's a long, storied history. It's a great basketball
long
city.
Hated history.
Right. Well, the success rate hasn't been.
Just after the announcement, the rating, the likability rating of the WNBA team is already higher than the Sixers because of where they currently are.
And they haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. I really feel great about the WNBA. It's been such a lost sports league for so long. And I don't know why, but I also don't know why Caitlin's arrival Clark. Changed that.
Yeah.
But it was, certainly did. I think the rivalry between her and Angel Reese has helped out quite a bit. You know, it's starting to get the feel of the NBA. You've got star players that now eclipse former star players. Then they clash on the court.
Yes.
Yeah, there's drama involved. There's some name calling. There's some fouls, you know, going on. I think they're starting to get it. A little bit of drama will help you out.
Hey, did you know? I just found this out because of our chat. Great YouTube chat, youtube.com/@12NWPHT. Billie Jean King actually played for a tennis team called the Philadelphia Freedoms. And I didn't realize it, but Bernie Taupin and Elton John, they penned Philadelphia Freedom, the song, as a dedication. It was a favor to Billie Jean King, who was part of that Philadelphia Freedoms tennis team.
Yeah. I'm sure they'd be cool with the WNBA
sure
team taking their name, right? Maybe get Elton down there to sing a tune in the opening line.
They have a theme song. It's great. Look at that.
We have a professional soccer team here in Orlando. We also have a women's team that has killer attendance. It's a great team. People are supporting it. We have a crappy basketball team currently, but we don't have a ladies basketball team just yet, or women's, but hopefully we'll soon.
Cleveland and Detroit getting one before you guys, just FYI.
Oh, great. Yeah. Wow. When we return, we've also got this day in music history coming up, and the city of Harrisburg has made a rather alarming statement about how they're going to handle their homeless issue. They've given a name to their solution. It sounds a bit like you're putting a dog down, but we'll get to it when we return. Hang on. Shannon Burke along with Anna Hummel and Dan Borowski in for Kale & Company, 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Well, the city of Harrisburg has a homeless problem. Many cities do. The officials there with the city met last week. They discussed their details for a plan to deal with it. The details of the plan could not be shared with the local CBS affiliate. Their sanitation department is well aware of the problems there. They need change. They said they need it sooner than later. The fact that they can't share their plans, and the fact that they call it the quote, this is a quote from the city of Harrisburg, our permanent and humane plan for our homeless population. That sounds like the permanent humane plan for Sparky, your aging a beagle, you know?
Yeah.
Permanent and humane. What is that?
Yeah.
For A, homelessness is never permanently solved. There's always going to be a certain degree of homelessness.
Yep.
There is no permanent solution to it. But when you put permanent next to humane, it sounds like we're taking Sparky for his last walk to the vet.
It sure does. It, what exactly do they want to do with them?
It's permanent and humane, and we can't tell you about it right now.
We can't tell you what it is.
Just line up your homeless,
like
bring them down here.
Yeah, we're going to put them down. We're going to euthanize them all.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like we got to put them down. Their unhoused population is a big problem there. They had them under a bridge, Mulberry Street Bridge, on their greenbelt, and they were asked to leave. That never usually. They did leave, only to go down to the Penn DOT building in front of on South Front Street and put up a bunch of tents. Now they just call it Tent City. But soon, I guess, they're all going to be put down in a humane manner.
Well,
it's very sad.
They
gave us years of friendship and companionship. Yeah. It's time
right,
to see
they sure
go.
Did. Yeah.
It's time for Phil Onquist, This Day in Music History.
Happened on this day in music history. Music history. On Kale & Company.
July 1st, we celebrate the birthdays of Debbie Harry from Blondie, who's 80, Fred Schneider from the B-52s, who's 74, and Dan Aykroyd, who's 73. We also lost DJ Wolfman Jack on this day in 95. Sinku the Family Ghost by King Diamond in 87, and After the Fall by Journey in 83. Obligate Styx 2 by Styx in 73. Music from Big Pink by The Band in 68. Planet Zero by Shinedown in 2022. OK Computer by Radiohead in 97. And Screaming for Vengeance by Judas Priest in 1982. Also in 83, Bon Jovi, Silent Mercury Records. In 67, the Beatles were top the album chart. 2006, the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts opened on the grounds of the original Woodstock Festival. And 2023, Metallica's 72 Seasons was atop the mainstream rock chart. But lastly, on this day in 79, Sony introduced the Walkman.
Oh,
poor deal company. I feel like, because I love the Walkman.
I do too, Phil. Deborah Harry is 80 years old.
That's incredible to me.
She's holding up.
Yeah, actually, the one that really blew me in mind was that Don Dokken turned 72 over the weekend. That was just blew my mind.
Dokken is 72?
Yeah, he's 76. That was the one that was like, whoa.
It's sad, but the rock stars get old, you
yes.
know?
Yeah, we all do, sadly, but yes.
And I guess most of them, they get to that age, you know, I don't know if Dokken's still out performing somewhere,
he is.
Are they?
Oh, it's actually.
When you get Mick Jagger rolling, in, what is he?
86? Something in the 80s, yeah. He still sounds good, though. That's the thing. It's like, if you're touring and you're 70-plus, 80, whatever, you can still sing. I'm good.
And not only that, the guy could do that little Mick Jagger dance.
Oh my God, he had a surgery.
Right.
Still dance around.
I mean, that guy's got cartilage in his knees at 80, whatever. It's just, you
it's
know,
amazing.
Those guys
it's
hard
amazing.
To get out of a chair.
There's no question.
Dancing around like a freak. Well, did you say Dan Aykroyd's birthday too?
Yeah, 73.
He's 73.
Yep.
That's a shocker. I thought he was older than that.
Yep.
I'm not dissing the guy.
I just thought,
probably be a lot older than that. Deborah Harry still touring or singing?
They just lost their drummer, so I don't know if they are anymore. So I don't.
It's sad when your band can't tour anymore because one of you died of old age.
Yeah, that's kind of the state of classic rock right now, unfortunately.
Or broke a hip.
Yeah.
Or had an iron deficiency and couldn't make it to the stage that day.
Exactly.
Wow, Deborah Harry's 80. I don't know why that hit me so hard. I thought for sure she was more like my age, but I guess not. Too old to rock and roll, 80 years old?
You are never too old to rock and roll.
Yeah, no.
I'm with you.
You're lucid, and you can move your body, then, you know, rock on.
But, you know, you look at Mick Jagger and even the rest of that band, they look haggard and old. But as long as they
are, and that's okay.
As long as they move like that, yeah. You know. I mean, my dad passed away when he was 84. He could barely get out of a chair. There's no way he's dancing around a stage.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe there was something with all those drugs, you know, like preserve their body.
Well, Keith Richards is still going, speaking of drugs.
Yeah, Keith Richards. He older or younger than Mick, or probably about the same age?
They're right around the same. I think Mick is slightly older.
Wow.
They're all in that general area.
Keith Richards, not that he's ever a handsome man in his youth.
He and Steven Tyler are going to outlive us all.
How old is Steven Tyler? Like 78?
He's in the mid-70s, to mid-70s right now.
Mm. He looks like my Aunt Frances now.
you're not wrong.
77.
77, yep.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, he does. If you've seen him, you know, in the last year or so photos of him, you know, he looks like an old lady.
Yeah,
I'm not knocking him. I love Steven Tyler. I think he's a great performer, but, you know.
Inquiring minds on YouTube, Phil, want to know whether that's Metallica this year, the concert, the tour shirt.
I got this shirt actually from 2 years ago when they first started the 72 Seasons tour in 2023 when I saw it at East Rutherford, New Jersey. When I went to Syracuse this year, I got other shirts. So I think I have like 4 or 5 shirts from this particular tour, but it's been going on for a couple years now. So this is...
Are you one of those guys that like follows one band around on their tour all over the country?
No, I just see everybody. I've already seen 8 shows this year. So, you know.
Wow. Holy cow. All right. Good for you. Thanks, Phil. I appreciate it.
No problem.
That's about wraps it up for us today. Anna, thank you so much.
So much, Shannon, Dan, Phil, and the rest of the crew that's not there for, you know, giving us some airtime. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Follow me on X if you like. It's at The Burke Show. And Dan, thank you. Thank Greg Stocker for us as well.
Thank you, Dan.
Another great show here. I appreciate it. 1210 WPHT. Have a great day.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.